Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast. Welcome to season 5 of the Intentional Parents Podcast. Thank you so much for everybody that's taken time and energy to listen to these podcasts. We've heard from many of you recently, and we just want to say it means the world to us that you would jump on and leave a comment or rate the podcast. And if you haven't had a chance to do that, would you just take a moment and even rate the podcast and leave a comment? Because it does help so much with helping the word get out. Also, if any of our content has blessed you or is encouraging you, would you just do us a favor and share that? We're wanting to bless as many families as we possibly can. And this season is no exception. And so today I have Elizabeth and Phil and Diane in the room with me, and we are excited to share with you some of the stuff that God's been putting on our heart and some of the things he's been teaching us. And so today I thought it might be good for us to start with a little bit of a story. Diane, maybe you could start us with where some of the origin of this conversation we're going to have today started.
Well, we are months into COVID, and last March feels so far away. We thought it
almost
would last
a year into COVID.
Thought it would last a month. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. If we all just stayed home for the rest of the month, that in April, everything would be just fine.
Yeah.
And obviously, that's not our reality. And so Phil and I were just talking on our morning walk. Every morning, we take our dog Trooper with us on a walk in the neighborhood, and we pray for each of our children, their spouses.
Thank you.
Each of the grandchildren. And it is our privilege, honestly, Brooke, it's our privilege to even know your children well enough that you allow us so deeply into their lives that we know very specifics to be praying in.
Yeah.
And so we talk and walk and pray out loud. And on this particular morning, it was a Monday morning, and we'd heard a message the day before, a Sunday message that just, we both realized that we are growing weary of even the need for comfort constantly, of the need to complain, the need to vent, the need to say how hard it is. Mm-hmm. And then we kept hearing this recurring phrase, I can't wait for 2020 to be done. Of course, now we're in 2021 and nothing's changed. And that had alerted both of us to say, oh no, are people looking to the vaccine? Are they looking to masks? Are they looking to all these different things to change the happiness quotient in their lives? And we realized, Phil and I both realized, that we are just wanting to reframe the entire conversation. Like, it's time. It's time. We've all vented plenty. Our emotions have been all over the place. We've acknowledged them beautifully and not so beautifully. And so we kind of came up with the idea of that it's time to change our minds about what's going on in our world.
Mm.
And Phil was leading a study the other day over Zoom with some businessmen. And that was really weird. Just coming out of our talk, he put together a message, much of which we'll all kind of share with you right now.
Yeah. And to give some context, you were sharing this Bible study. And as we were kind of looking through some of these notes, we're like, we have to have a conversation mm-hmm. around this because so timely for all of us. I know for Elizabeth and I, and you guys are in that same place. So, mm-hmm. Phil, maybe kind of just give us some guidelines. How are we, what was this, where did this come from for you? And kind of what was the basis of the things that the Spirit was stirring on your heart from that conversation?
Yeah, well, there's a really great guy who I consider a friend, but also he's one of our generous supporters of our Intentional Parents Ministry, and he has a successful engineering firm. And this guy is amazing. He actually employs a guy just full time to pray for his business, for all the people that work for him. And then every Wednesday they have a Bible study and they have different people speak for it. And so I've been able to do it a couple times. And so they asked me if I could do it this past Wednesday, which was a couple days after our conversation. And so this was on my mind, but I was busy and I was just, I'll just do something I've done before. But I woke up that morning. I thought, no, the Lord wants me to share about this. And he just brought a verse to my mind that I memorized a long time ago from, and I couldn't even remember where it was. I thought it was in one of the minor prophets, but it's in Isaiah. Yeah. It's one of my favorite prophets, Isaiah chapter 33. Well, and I'll read the verse later, but, and I remember this verse and it's about stability. And so, I put this little devotional together for these business people called Stability, in Unstable Times.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, as Diane said, during 2020, everyone's going, this is horrible. I can't wait for 2020 to end. And then we're 6 days into 2021 and we're all watching the TV special that I called Chaos in the Capitol. Like, what is going on and what's happening with our country? And, and as parents, our kids are, you know, aware of what's going on and we're watching what's going on. And so if things seem a bit still unstable, it's because they are. Mm. But personally, I get excited about this because people, you know, ask, like they ask you, I'm sure as well, those listening, you know, what's going on with our country and what's going on in the world? And, and I feel like these are what Jesus called birth pangs. I think God is giving us a wake up call. Hey, get ready. I'm coming soon. And we don't know when he's coming back. Jesus doesn't even know. He said, only the Father knows the hour of his return. But Jesus told a lot of parables about we need to be ready. We need to live each day as if he's coming back. And I feel like periodically God uses these kinds of things like a world pandemic back in 9/11. That 9/11 was a wicked act by wicked men, but God also was crying out to the world, you know, things can crumble in an instant. Where is your stability? Yeah. And I think in COVID, we've had to say, what am I building my life on? And what am I building my relationship on, my marriage on, my parenting on? Like, is it on how much money I have or how well my job is going or is he my stability? And so he is coming back. And I think the question for moms and dads and for Diane and me is, what kind of people are we going to be in these days of instability?
Yeah.
Because, you know, people are watching us. Our kids are watching us. And Diane, in my case, our grandkids are watching us. And so, you know, we kind of want to shift the conversation to what a terrible year it was. I'm not saying don't bring comfort. I mean, when people are still hurting, of course, we bring comfort to them. But how about changing it a little bit to say, kind of, we're saying to each other enough already, but how about changing it? You know, Jesus said in this world, we would have tribulation or trouble. Mm-hmm. But he said, take courage. I've overcome the world. In other words, look to me. And I think it's time for us who know him and who have his Spirit living in us to start bringing this hope to those who maybe don't have it or misplacing their trust. And I think this, what happened in the Capitol 6 days in, the showed that we don't know what a day will bring forth. Proverbs 27:1 says that don't boast about tomorrow. You don't even know what a day may bring forth.
Yeah.
None of us know what's coming, but we do know the one who holds the future.
Yes.
And here I am in my later years. I realize, you know, after the frontline workers and the teachers, I'm going to be one of the first in line to get the vaccine. So I found myself thinking, oh, you know, as soon as I get the vaccine, I'll be fine. And I said, wait a minute, am I trusting in the vaccine? Yeah. I mean, now there's strains that they don't know if the vaccine will handle. And it just doesn't make me depressed. It makes me full of hope. You know, science is great. Science can help.
But only Jesus is going to be our stability. I heard this quote, in science, we find the notes to the song. In Jesus, we find the song itself. And so I just want us to point people to Jesus, to point our kids to Jesus and saying, we're citizens of another kingdom.
Yeah.
And one day Jesus is coming back. And even in these uncertain times, he can be our stability.
And I wanted to say a couple things. First, if you hear raindrops in the background, we record this in Portland and we're in Diane's cottage, which has a steel roof, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what you hear. So don't worry. It's not on your, it's us. It's not you. But we want to just take a second. I want to take a second and press into what you just said, Phil, because I think that's really important. Talking about the fact that we are a part of a different kingdom. We have a different, we're citizens of heaven. So our citizenship is different. And I know Elizabeth and I have been talking, like, how do we explain this time to our kids, even, you know, in some of the political arena, no matter where you land, right? Like, how do you explain the kind of the details and the confusion of what's going on? And the best way that we found was to basically tell our kids, like, listen, there's going to be different sides of each party, but actually we are not a part of these different political parties as much as we are a part of God's kingdom. Like our ruler isn't represented in the, you know, in this situation. You can't see Jesus in over the screen during the inauguration, but what you can see is the reality that we are serving God and we're going to set up our trust structures in him and in his kingdom. And it's so interesting when you do that with your kids, at least in our experience, and honey, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but in my experience is that when you say, hey guys, I know there's a lot of chaos going on and you see a lot of confusion, but just rest assured that we live our life under this rule and this reign of this king who loves you and cares for you. I mean, the comfort, like the worry or the confusion, it almost immediately dissipates. And it also reminds us, like, we're serving God, not the world's systems. And it helps them kind of in a unique way process that. But, you know, I was thinking as you were talking, Phil, when we are a part of a different kingdom specifically, how that usually leads us to act very differently, right? Like when we are those who are a part of the kingdom, we're not doing the same things as everybody else. We're not handling the stresses of this moment as everybody else. And I think that's really key, especially in parenting. Any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was just thinking of, I think this year has showed us more than anything, there's such a conception from culture, and then we take it on even as believers all the time, that or a misconception that life is supposed to be easy. Things are supposed to go well. We're not supposed to suffer. We're supposed to have plenty of money, that we're supposed to have all these things. And when it doesn't go that way, we think either why me or what am I doing wrong? Why is that not going as well for me as it is for seemingly other people, or what I thought it was supposed to go like, the American dream, you know? And how easy is it to forget that scripture is so clear, what you just said, Dad, that in this world you will have, in some translations, it's trouble, tribulation or trouble. And like Jesus promises that, but he promises that he will be with us. That's like the theme of scripture all over the place, that he is with us, that he will never leave us or forsake us. And I just think if we could teach our kids from day one, that constantly telling them, hey, you having struggles, you know, in our case, our kids having some learning disabilities or developmental problems or anxiety, like the things that are just real things that are in our family and our family carries, to not be surprised by that or think that's weird or that nobody else is struggling, but to be able to look at that and say, yeah, like that, these are struggles that we're going to have, and you're going to have more of them in your life. But here's why you don't have to fear. Here's why you don't have to worry. Here's why when the world has been turned upside down, we don't have to be shaken. Because no matter what, whether it's good or bad, God is with us in it always. And if we could teach them that, to not believe culture's lie that we as parents so often believe, that things should be easy, things should be happy all the time, we should never have a year like 2020. Man, I just feel like what a service we could be doing them and ourselves to change that perspective, like we're talking about.
Like suffering is the language of the kingdom, right? Yeah. Suffering is, you know, in the kingdom, it's a guarantee. Like it's, there's, that's happening. I think when we can help our kids understand, like, don't be alarmed by suffering. Rather, this is how to walk through suffering. This is how Jesus is with you in your suffering. I've been reading this book. great book. If you haven't read it, it's called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Eugene Peterson. But he quotes this guy in here named Thomas Szasz, and he says, and this is what this guy Thomas says really quick. I just want to read it to you because it's exactly what you were, I wasn't actually planning on reading this, but it's exactly what you're talking about. And he's a lot smarter than probably all of us in this room. Maybe not Diane, but at least us three. He says this, simplest and most ancient of human truths, namely that life is an arduous and tragic struggle. What we call sanity, what we mean by not being schizophrenic, has a great deal to do with competence earned by struggling for excellence. Mm-hmm. With compassion, hard won by confronting conflict, and with modesty and patience acquired through silence and suffering. Mm. It was just a great reminder to me that this life is full of suffering. Mm-hmm. And we try to say, hey, we're normal, which basically he says, you're just not schizophrenic or something, you know, like that idea, like we're trying to find sanity, but there is a sanity in suffering. There's a humanity mm-hmm. in it.
You know, it reminds me of an old quote I read, I think, in Streams in the Desert, which is an old devotional that Diane and I are reading
again
this year.
Yeah, I've been reading it again. So good.
And in there somewhere it says, God finds his best soldiers on the mountains of affliction.
Oh.
In other words, it's in the valley where character is forged, not when everything's mm-hmm. great. We mm-hmm. tend to turn kind of away from the Lord when everything's going wonderful.
Oh.
But when we're really hurting, we cry out to him. You know, to the parents listening, as you talk to your kids, Elizabeth quoted two great verses. So they're John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation.
Oh, yeah.
And in Hebrews 13:5-6, where Jesus, it says, he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. But what's after that is, therefore we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper.
Mm-hmm.
I will not be afraid. Mm-hmm. What can man do to me? And so I think it's all what we're saying is pointing our kids to the Lord. And so the change of the conversation is we're just saying to our kids, you know, we're finding such stability in these unstable times. We don't know what's ahead, but we're not anxious about it because we know the one who holds the future in his hands, the one who causes the sun to rise and set, who says to the sea, thus far and no more. And remember what Jesus said about the sparrows? You've never seen a bird freaking out. I don't know. We're not going to find it. It says he cares for the sparrows and he knows every hair on your head. They're numbered. And he knows, and how much more valuable are you, Jesus
yeah.
said. And so he cares for us, and we can come to him, and he sees where we're at. And so I just think, at least by our countenance in the home, we should mm-hmm. be conveying this peaceful presence.
Yes.
And yes, praying for those that don't know this peaceful presence, and maybe are don't have the perspective we do, and bring that peace to them, and say, you know, he's my stability in yeah. these unstable times.
One way that I think that we can do that with our children that has helped me so much through some of honest sufferings in my life is something a mentor taught me when she said, you need to train yourself to look for the beauty in the ugliness.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't override the ugliness. The ugliness is real. That's really important that we acknowledge. But there's always, God loves us so much that he's constantly dropping gifts and jewels and treasures and beauty, even in the midst of ugliness.
Mm-hmm.
And if we train ourselves, it becomes almost, I feel like now, almost instinctive. On the worst of situations, in the worst parts of our lives, we can say, okay, I see God's hand in this. Not that he's causing it, but that he's intervening in it
yeah.
and bringing treasures from the darkness.
Yes.
And you can end up with a life, either a treasure chest or chest full of moans and complaints, and then you die.
Yes.
Because we're all going to die. Or like, I remember when I turned 30, somebody, you know, making a that was a long time ago.
I was gonna say it's like 5 years ago.
I barely remember it.
That was 6 years ago, I think.
Saying, you know, you, all the jokes about getting older. And I had very young children at the time, 3. I hadn't had Matthew yet. And it suddenly dawned on me, I can either bemoan that I'm getting older, or I can count every birthday that I have. I got to live this old to invest in my kids. And that has now become so instinctive to me that honestly, I love getting older because it shows I actually lived long enough to raise my kids and now I'm living long enough to invest in my grandchildren. So every birthday can be something beautiful. I mean, that's just an example of the treasures in the so-called darkness that we can train our kids to be watching for them.
Yeah. One way that we're doing that a little bit in our house of just trying to bring our kids into it. And I feel like it's been more for me, like my heart needing it and then wanting to lead them in it. But kind of two things we've been doing is every Sabbath dinner, so every Friday night leading into our day off, we do what we call highs and lows. And it's basically something you're thankful for that happened this week and something that didn't go well. And we end up having great conversations. Okay, what was your high? What was your low? But on our school days, in my idealistic self, we were going to do this great Bible curriculum and we were going to do it every day and we were going to have a Bible study every day. That's not happening. But we are doing a few little short things and then we start our time with, okay, what's one thing you're thankful for and one thing you want to ask God for? In the beginning of the year, it was just, what do you want to pray for? Which was always asking God for things. But we just added the, what's one thing you're thankful for and one thing you want to ask God for? And sometimes they're super into it, and other times it's like, well, I'm thankful that I have a Lego, you know? But I feel like it's training all of us to, rather than only look at the bad thing, to also look at the things that we're thankful for. And I think that's what we're talking about is it's a both and. It doesn't mean that 2020 wasn't horrifically hard and won't go down in history as a crazy year. That is true. But it is also true that God is the same as he was in 2019, as he is in 2020, or he was in 2020, as he's going to be in 2025. He's the same. And what we have in him, the stability we have in him, the joy we have in him, was the same and is the same and is forever going to be the same. And I think it's so important that we acknowledge both, because we can have good and sorrow in the same breath, and God is in all of it.
That makes me think of Romans chapter 5, verse 3, a longtime favorite of mine in the New Living. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to endure.
Yeah.
And they help our children learn to endure, too. Yeah. And so who knows what lies ahead for them, these birth pangs leading up to the coming of Jesus to the new heaven and the new earth, our real hope when we actually get to live full time in the kingdom with the King present. There's going to be hard times ahead. And this year may be their first introduction to the endurance that they're going to need to endure in those times ahead.
And I think, you know, that's beautifully said, Diane and Elizabeth. And I know we have a couple points that we're going to wrap this up with and a couple verses as well. I just want to maybe set up to maybe just put a bow on that piece that you just said, Elizabeth and Diane. You know, suffering, as we talked about, is such a way of the kingdom. And we set the tone. And Phil, you were talking about stability in unstable times. Well, if you yourself as a parent, I'm learning this, we're all learning this, we know this. If I'm unstable, if I am not doing the things that I know I need to do, whether that's like self-control when it comes to what I'm eating, my sleep schedule, what I'm ingesting, all these different things media-wise in my mind, reading, all that time, prayer. If I'm not in those spaces, I immediately become unstable because I'm all chaotic inside. And then that obviously, as we know, bleeds out to our kids. And so this starts with you. Your perspective matters. And as you're talking about suffering, there was this quote again from Streams in the Desert the other day. I was actually reading it as well. It turns out we're all reading it. But there was this phrase, and I had to put it in my journal because it was just such a great reminder that I want to remind myself of daily. And it says, this is the quote. It says, "There is a service in the shadow that is not in the shine." And there's this service that we get to give to our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, when we are actually in the hard places, in the dark places. There's a deepness, there's a connection that only comes through the way of the shadow. And so I think perspective is really important in this. This isn't all bad, although it feels all bad. And I think what, Phil, I appreciate you and Diane both pulling our perspective up. And I think this is where life experience is such a gift to go, to really go, man, we actually can can actually change our mind. We can mm-hmm. actually decide to change our mind. We can use the scriptures. We can use prayer. We can actually say, you know what? Life is chaotic, but we can mm-hmm. actually be stable.
Mm-hmm. We can actually be stable. So I think this is a good time to read the verse that says that. Huh?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Isaiah 33. This is verses 2 through 6, but it's verse 6 that I want us to kind of really hear. So here's what the Lord's saying. O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation also in this time of distress.
Wow.
So we think, like, is this the first time anybody's gone through times of distress? No, this is written like hundreds of years before Jesus walked this earth.
That's amazing.
And so Isaiah is talking about this time of distress. In this world, we have tribulation. At the sound of the tumult, peoples flee. They're freaking out. At the lifting up of yourself, nations disperse, and your spoil is gathered as the caterpillar gathers, as locusts rushing about, men rush about on it. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He's filled Zion with justice and righteousness. And here it is, verse 6. And he, God, shall be the stability of your times.
Oh.
A wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, is his treasure. I like the NIV even better. He will be the sure foundation of your times.
Wow.
A rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. So there's this treasure of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge, but it's the reverence of God that's the key to open it. And so we need to open it ourselves, and then we need to teach our kids how to open this. And so in times like these, in this present distress right now, God himself, this verse says, Isaiah 33, 6, is this rich store. It's like a fountain of these three things. And maybe we could talk about these.
I was just
going to
ask, could you unpack these three? Salvation, wisdom and knowledge. Yeah.
And knowledge. Yeah. And so the salvation, I mean, basically, we think of, you know, having not been a believer until I was 19 and Diane in high school, you know, I just remember my life being realizing all my sin is forgiven, and I knew what a bunch of it was.
Yeah.
You know, when the guy that led me to the Lord, he explained sin to me, and he goes, have you done that? I go, oh, yeah, guilty. I knew I was a sinner. I just didn't know what to do about it. So he's forgiven me of my sin, and I tend to focus there. But I think maybe some of us have heard sermons that salvation has three tenses, past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
So he saved us from the penalty of sin. So all my sin is forgiven, past, present, and future, because Jesus took it on the cross. Our sin was laid on him, and he who never sinned bore our sins, and we're saved by the blood of Christ and the cross of Christ. And so there's salvation past. Salvation future is one day we'll be saved from the very presence of sin.
Hmm.
We shall be in the presence of God where there'll be no unrighteousness, no hatred, no sin at all. It'll be glorious future with him forever. But in the meantime, he wants to save us daily from the power of sin.
Yes.
And so worry's a sin.
Yes.
Because it's a lack of trusting in him, the one who's promised to be with us 24/7. And so I think that we can help our kids see that, hey, you're feeling anxious today? Jesus wants to save you from that. And how does he do that? When we trust in him. And, you know, trust isn't just like a little intellectual thing. It's to place our confidence in him.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the salvation part.
Salvation.
And then he'll be a wealth of wisdom. I think, parents, we need wisdom and how to talk to our kids constantly, right? And one of the things that I think we can point out to them is what we're talking about today is God. He's not up in the heavens going, oh, no, COVID happened. What am I going to do? No.
Yes.
So I don't believe he caused it. We live in a fallen world, a broken world, and there's pandemics and there's cancer and there's diseases. But he overrules. He rules over all. So the scriptures say he puts up one and puts down another. You know, in America, we've had rulers on the left, rulers on the right, and there's still chaos. God is saying, look to me, you know, and he is overruling. And this morning I was reading, you know, I'm a read through the Bible thing. I read Psalm 33. And Diane, could you read a few verses here? I've got this weird thing going on with my eye. I'm going to have a eye surgery to clear up some vision. But read from here to the end. So this is verse 18 to the end of Psalm 33, where it just reminds us that God is in charge. He's overruling, and we need to to teach our kids yes. that he's Lord, he's King, he's created he's everything, and he's not silent, he's living, he's alive.
Okay, so but first, before I read it, I need you who are listening to know that I hold in my hands this Bible that is yellowed with age, repaired, fixed, fills notes all over the place, underlining all over the place. It's a treasure. It is the one thing that when Phil passes away, my kids are going to fight over who gets it. John Mark's already yeah. claimed it, but I don't think the battle for this is over. So this is the treasure from which Phil draws all of life. Okay, in verse 13, the Lord
eight,
looks...
Eight, is it 13 or 18 right there?
13.
13, oh yeah, 13 on, yeah.
The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty armor. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness.
On those who fear him. And then this verse, Isaiah 33, 6, that's how it ends. He's a yeah. wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure.
I was going to say one thing with regards to wisdom that I've been finding so helpful lately in the midst of what we're talking about. Because salvation, what a gift to just receive that, right? And when we're not gracious with ourselves, we tend not to be gracious with other people, yes. including our spouse or our truth. Kids. And so it really starts like, how can you actually have this perspective, this stability? Well, first you have to receive that grace and actually mm-hmm. give yourself grace, right? Mm-hmm. But the second thing on wisdom, a prayer that Elizabeth and I are reading this great marriage book, and but the wife in this book was saying basically the best prayer we ever prayed and stopped and prayed all the time was, Lord, give us wisdom. The four words, Lord, give us wisdom. And I've been using that before interactions or a moment of discipline or a moment of just really need, like, I don't know how I'm going to approach this one. Lord, give us wisdom. And I think in the moment of your parenting or the day-to-day moments of even your relationships and all that you're experiencing, man, I would just encourage you, pause. Even in your mind, in your mind's eye, pray, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give mm-hmm. us wisdom. And it is so surprising how different the outcome of those conversations mm-hmm. are in which I invite mm-hmm. the Spirit to give me wisdom versus not. And we need that. I mean, like mm-hmm. every day we need that as a dependent moment. So you know, I just wanted to share that, Phil. What a brilliant verse that is giving us such clarity on how to actually do this. But there's another one. There's not just yeah. wisdom. There's another one.
But it's so great, well, you know, to talk to your kids about salvation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, read this verse to them and say, you know, what a great thing. Talk to them and teach them to ask for wisdom yeah. as they watch you ask for wisdom. And the last one's knowledge. And knowledge is connected to wisdom. And God gives us knowledge. When we ask for it, he gives us his perspective.
Yeah.
And he gives us a knowledge that
that's good.
Even people who have multiple PhDs aren't going to get because they're looking in the wrong place. Mm. So when I was thinking of this and I was putting this little devotional together, it reminded me of a random verse in 1 Chronicles 12:32, where it says, it's talking about the sons of Issachar, this group of Jewish
yeah.
Followers of Yahweh. It says they were men who understood the times. And so wow. I think as parents, we need to understand the times. And,
yes.
and that's what we're talking about, so that we can yes. then give this knowledge to our kids, this perspective. God is still in heaven. He rules over all. And yes, we're not the first to have gone through times of distress. And it's real what we're feeling. But we know someone who is above it all. Because when Jesus stood before Pilate and he asked about his kingdom, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my subjects would be fighting. So, you know, he said, no, I'm my followers are citizens of another kingdom.
I was just going to say, well, Diane, actually you had a verse. I'll why don't you go first?
Well, just as you were saying that, Phil, talking about knowledge, I remember my favorite verse, I think, in the whole Bible that I quote constantly, because in the New Testament, in the Greek, that word knowledge is experiential knowledge. It's not just yes. something we know in our head because we memorized it for a tape.
Right.
a test is something we know to the core of our being. And Paul prayed this for his people in Ephesus, who he loved, who went through some pretty difficult, hard times. He prayed for them. And this is a prayer that I wrote down for a teenage daughter of mine who was going through a hard time at school, just wanting to be a Jesus follower and to be an influencer, not wanting to be influenced, but finding herself too often influenced. So I started praying this every single day for her. I wrote it on a card. It's all scuffed up and smudged by now. It starts in verse 17. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him.
Yes.
May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. There's that word, understand. Yeah. Experientially understand. As all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is.
Yeah. Yes.
And verse 19, my favorite. May you experience the love of Christ. That's the word you'll find translated know in the NIV and stuff there. But the New Living decided to take the experiential knowledge and bring it to the forward. May you experience the love of Christ that was so great, you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. So we can say to our kids, you know, sweetheart, son, I'm experiencing this stability in unstable times from Jesus. He just gave it to me again when I was reading the Bible. And I'm glad that you're learning this too.
He's doing it. He's given us stability. I was wondering, Phil, I know this is, I didn't ask you to do this and this is totally on the fly, but would you mind just singing that part right there? My hope is filled. Could you just sing that over everybody?
Sing it over, sure.
Sing it over, because I think
so people give context. What, Dad, what did you do for the majority of your ministry days?
Yeah, I was a worship pastor for, I don't know,
not just any, a really great one.
And before that, a really cool rock and roller in the 60s.
Play drums, oh man.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that I forgot that I did that. So when I did this little devotional, I quoted the words to Diane's favorite hymn. And she calls it her hymn, called The Solid Rock.
Yeah.
And I started quoting it, then I sang it to the guy. So yeah, sure, I don't want to sing the whole thing, but... And a lot of you may have heard this hymn, but it's an old hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And then the second verse, when darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. And the third verse, his oath, his covenant, his blood protect me in the whelming flood, in the whelming pandemic. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. And in the chorus, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit, and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.